Welcome, Cabin Fever friends, to our latest Isolation Diaries episode. 2 months in. 2 months. Holly's sitting beside me this time while I record. 2 months, Holly.
Long time. Long time.
Long time. Long time. You ready to do another 2 months?
No.
Let's hope it's not another 2 months.
Yeah.
So I think we do all deserve a huge slice of cake or glass of wine for getting through 2 whole months of a pandemic. I mean, one that robs us of all our usual support systems, freedoms and friends. Holly and I have been celebrating this week with eating a lot of brownies. I made like enough brownies to serve 12 people and we've basically eaten the whole thing in 2 days. Let's not dwell on that. But one thing it does give the majority of us extra time for is listening to podcasts. And I do say that as my 3-year-old daughter Scout demands every waking minute of my life. So I do appreciate it's easier said than done. Oh, Ralph the cat just did some sneezes. But it does feel like we've created our own little audio community here. And it's a place that I do want to be flipping honest within. So if you're new to Isolation Diaries, welcome along. I'm Kate Monaghan. I have Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, which is a chronic pain condition in all my joints. And my wife, Holly, is a kidney transplant recipient. How long have you had your kidney, Hol?
11.5 years.
And you're on...
immunosuppressants. I was like, what kind of, like, I'm on a computer right now? Yeah, taking immunosuppressants, so I am very vulnerable to catching the virus.
And that's why we are shielding and have been with Scout for 8 weeks now. This is my audio diary of the past 7 days. It's so important to be extra vigilant during this time. But I think it can also make us a little bit paranoid, which is exactly what happened this week when Holly started to feel really poorly. Okay, so Holly has come up to bed because she is poorly. Are you taking paracetamol?
Yeah.
Okay. And obviously we're both slightly worried about why she's poorly. Well, what's wrong?
I've just got really bad... tummy ache, I ache all over. I just feel exhausted. Like, I could just close my eyes and go to sleep. And it's only, like, 11 a.m. But we haven't been near anyone. So I know what you're thinking. I'm fine. I just need, I'm sure a bit of paracetamol will help.
I'm going to get the testing kit. Move the sweets out of the way. Okay, so I have my thermometer. Dr. Monaghan on the case. Okay, you're green.
That's good. What does it say, 30?
36.6.
That's usually normal for me.
And then
put my finger on that.
The pulse ox, which I bought because a friend who was a doctor had... COVID recently, and he said this was a lifesaver, so I bought one.
Yeah, because apparently this can be really, really low, and you have no idea. Read that yesterday.
I read that too. Okay, now your pulse is 59.
And 99.
And your oxygen is 99. Okay, fine. Good, well done. You're safe so far.
I think I just need a little nap.
Right, I'm going to take your temperature again.
Times the past hour, I'm fine. I'm feeling better already.
I'm stressed.
I'm fine, it's not COVID.
But I just read about it, and a runny tummy can be...
I haven't got a runny tummy.
Well, what have you got?
Just, like, stomach pain. Like, really achy to put... I feel exhausted and achy. Yeah, not myself, I guess.
What have you eaten?
Nothing. I've had my usual breakfast, yogurt and fruit. And then last night we had aubergine, parmigiana kind of thing. Oh, I had those fritters.
You know what the fritters have got in them?
Courgette.
Yeah, courgette. And?
Egg.
Egg. Oh my God, you donut. You're allergic to egg.
I'm not allergic to egg. I thought I was getting better about it, but yeah, that must be it.
Oh my God, I've literally been going out of my mind with worry, and you've eaten egg, and it's giving you tummy ache.
Well, I told you I was fine. It was you that came in 100 times, but yeah, it must be that. I've got an intolerance to egg. sometimes I can get away with eating a bit of it, and other times I cannot.
Oh, you are not worthy of my of my doctor kits. Yes, my friend.
We are having a sagaloo made from scratch and an Indian cauliflower kind of spicy curry thing.
Ooh.
Don't touch it. No.
But
this is my domain.
Why? Only because I can't physically cook, not because I can't cook.
You do lovely pasta.
Yeah, but again, not because I don't want to. Well, I don't really. Well, I don't like it, but that's because it's painful. Like, every part of cooking is painful.
I know, it's hard to lift stuff for you, isn't it? And
yeah, stand at the hob and
yeah,
chop things. And I don't know why you don't appreciate a good microwave meal. Because I can do that.
Where do I start?
Yeah.
No, I mean, don't really have the time in normal life.
No.
But we have, to be fair, like, during isolation, we really enjoyed some joint baking.
Oh, yeah, but today, what did you make me make?
Your chocolate brownies.
Yeah.
Because they're amazing, and they're basically, like, goo with, like, a shell.
But what did I say this morning that my resolution was?
Oh, you were all grumpy, and you're like, I'm not eating chocolate this week. I just can't.
Yeah, and then you were like, oh, can make your brownies.
Yeah, but I was like, well, what about the brownies you promised yesterday that, you know, you didn't make?
But I'm trying to eat better.
Oh, relax. It's lockdown. You need to be kind to yourself.
I know, but one of my problems is I don't mind putting on weight in terms of appearance, but I'm feeling it on my joints.
Yeah, no, I've noticed you've been wearing, like, super baggy, comfy clothes recently because you don't like anything touching your joints, do you?
No. I feel like heavier.
Ooh. Adding the potatoes to the sagaloo.
Very nice.
Yeah, no, I think everyone is going through something similar, but for you it is different. I know that. And I've got kind of renal bone disease and it really affects my knees. So, you know, when I'm going up and downstairs or whatever, I can, on a bad day, it's a cold day, I can really, really feel it and it hurts. And if I put on weight, it makes it worse. So I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Because it's like my knees are supporting heavier body and with your joints are supporting a little extra tire.
Tubby. Excuse me. I can just feel it. When I put weight on, I can feel
it. Yeah, I can feel it. And it's just like, I'm not Christmas weight, so I think I'm doing pretty well to...
Did you say you're not at your Christmas weight?
Yeah, Christmas weight was bad. I think everyone should be giving themselves a break. Kate! That's so classic! Oh my God!
I just dropped my recorder.
Oh no, you didn't even drop it, you like threw it!
I know. It's just sometimes my hands spasm. And
yeah.
And occasionally I'm holding something that's...
Most of the time!
Something important.
You've been through so many phones.
Yeah, whoa, that is a lot of salt. I don't think you meant to put that much in.
No, maybe I'll just remove that spinach leaf.
Yeah.
And that one as well.
Yeah. Jeepers.
Whoa.
Although that's always good to get you drinking more.
Mm.
It's always when you're due a kidney test, a renal test. It's like you're meant to have a blood test once every 8 weeks. And we're now coming into the eighth week of lockdown. So... Why are you doing that face?
Because it's not every 8 weeks.
Oh, how much is it?
If the last blood test has been successful, like the results are all right, I usually persuade them to let me come back in 4 months. But I think one of the levels was a bit weird. So, like, nothing majorly to worry about. I'm supposed to be in clinic in London in 2 weeks.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's not going to happen?
No, I actually don't know what to do because I need to have the tests. I know my GP can probably do it, but I don't even want to go to the GPs.
No, because someone to do a blood test, you have to get very close.
Yeah.
And 4 months is like the longest possible that you can go without.
Yeah.
That's...
And I always start to kind of get a bit like anxious if it's been a long time because, you know, they call kidney disease the silent killer for a good reason.
That is so overly dramatic.
Well, that's what it's called, because a lot of the symptoms you don't know, do you? I didn't know.
The silent killer.
That's what it says.
As if it's like arsenic or something.
Yeah, that's what they say.
Right, so you start to get worried.
Yeah, I do. And if I'm really honest, at the moment, I do feel a bit worried. You know, I've been having these tests for 12 years now, and they do the bloods in the morning, and then you either hear nothing, which is good news, or you get a call in the afternoon or the next day from a doctor or a nurse saying, "Ooh, you know, can you come back and then repeat, or can you adjust this?" And you know, even now, I'm looking at my phone afterwards, you know, the next day, and then I'm like, "Oh, they haven't called for you," you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, we both have like an anxious day the day after testing.
Yeah.
Don't let it stick to the bottom of the pan. No.
Okay.
Look, I'm
who's the cook?
Well, I guess you, but I like to have opinions.
Don't let it stick. Turn it down.
Who
a
was
bit.
That?
You. You've been well grumpy this week.
I know.
Oh my god, it's like snappy crocodile.
I know. Every flipping day, there's 17 captains trailed around the place. With cat, you know, a quarter of a tin of cat food in it.
Oh my god, I can't believe we're arguing about this. Just get lockdown over right now.
We've got a video. Who's that?
Ready?
Hello everyone.
Who is it?
It's Tiff from the preschool room. I hope you're keeping really safe and well. I've got a challenge for you and I would like you to all join in. I'm going to be building a tower and I want you all to build a tower as well.
Have you met Tiff in her house?
Not in her house. We've only met her in preschool, haven't we?
So did seeing that video make you miss Tiff more? Mm. Yeah, you got a bit quieter. Do you miss preschool? Mm. It's hard, isn't it? I know. But you'll be back soon.
Yeah. How does that make you feel, Tal?
Oh, I just miss them. I really miss Tiff. Like,
yeah.
It makes me feel a bit emotional.
But I really, 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 really miss Tiff.
Being, yeah, we love Tiff. Hey, baby. It's bedtime. Oh, yeah.
Just made me jump up my skin.
Do you know what that means?
It's like some nice quiet time. Ugh. I know what it means.
What does it mean?
Isolation
issues. Isolation issues. Isolation issues.
That's not the theme tune.
I know, but I thought it needed a revamp.
It's only been around for like a month.
Yeah, but I'm bored of it already.
You go first though.
All right, fine by me. When you go to serve food or drinks, you generally just get your do yourself. And then you'll do anyone else that's around, but you don't do me.
So I think someone's scraping the barrel.
No, it's really annoying.
No. Well, I apologise about that.
Do you?
But I get very hangry sometimes and I'm just like, right, food on plate, I'm off. So I'm really tired. It's 20 to 10. I want to watch Normal People and go to sleep.
Okay, it's fine. I've had a few tweets actually asking me a question. Do you want to know what that question is?
Yeah.
Same question that I ask you every couple of days. Have you packed your hospital bag yet?
I just haven't, no. I will.
Will you? Because I keep hearing that you will.
I feel like I've got better things to do at the moment. I don't really know what, but...
Yeah, what are those better things to do?
I don't know. I should. I just don't even know where we'd put the bag. Because if we put it by the front door, like, you know, ready to go, every time you'd walk past
you'd
be like, oh, there's Holly's hospital bag for when she gets coronavirus and goes into hospital.
Oh my God, it's fine. We've got a million places it could go. I'm just going to pack it for you and then you'll be sorry because you'll have loads of crap in it you don't want.
Yeah, it'll be a little surprise.
Yeah. I do wonder if, because nothing's happened for so long now and everyone keeps talking about us being past the peak.
It's easy to fall into kind of like, oh, you know, let's
take more risks.
Take more risks, but...
Because obviously we made the decision last week to go for a walk in the peaks.
Yeah.
And that was a risk that we wouldn't have taken.
2-3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
No, I know, absolutely.
Yeah, it's hard because I keep thinking, oh, maybe I could just pop into a shop. Or maybe if I, you know, I put a mask and gloves on.
No way, no, you can't do any of that.
No, but do you know what I mean? Like, it is starting to go through my head.
Yeah, but you can't do that. I mean, it's interesting, on the Kidney Facebook group,
some people are going out every day to walk their dogs and stuff, and then other people are like, you know, no way you should even leave your house. And there's a real kind of differing of opinion of what people should do. It must be hard if you live on your own and you're a vulnerable person and you've got a dog.
Like you can't have a lot of choice.
Walk your dog, yeah.
Yeah. But we also know some people with kidney transplants who their husband or partners or whatever have to go out to work still. They don't really have a choice, but so they're staying in the house, but then their other half is...
Yeah, or one friend went to clinic the other day, kidney clinic, to get, like, bloods done and stuff, and I honestly don't know how that even happened.
That doesn't feel safe, does
no,
it?
No, it really doesn't.
But I do wonder if people are getting fed up with this and that are willing to take more risks now, or if people still think... Because I feel like I would take more risks. Like, we're talking about having our cleaner come in because we just can't manage.
Yeah, although you were looking at a robot hoover the other day. For like £1,000. Oh, you're deadly serious.
It wasn't £1,000. It was a couple of £100. Like, yes, the best one is £1,000, but I would not spend £1,000. However... can't hoover, and like, you don't hoover, and
I do hoover it, okay, if it needs to be hoovered. However, like, we usually have a regular cleaner, which is really helpful.
Yeah,
but I'm not having a robot go around the house. It
why?
Might like,
it's like the coolest thing ever.
It might suck up a cat's tail or something. It's not looking.
I think anyone who listened last week realized that it was a really freaking tough week. I don't think that I was alone in having a hard week, but I really appreciate everyone who has got in touch to tell me that they also had a hard week. Just hearing other people say that it's hard is helpful. We've had an email in from Chloe who said, I just wanted to say to Kate, I know exactly how she's feeling. She has 2 girls, 7 and 18 months. Her husband's poorly and she's shielding. And last week was really hard for her. 7-year-old not complying with schoolwork, 18-month-old wrecking the place, no energy or motivation anywhere, and pain levels so high. And Chloe says, I just want to say it's okay to say it's hard. Thank you, Chloe. It is good to know that other people are finding it hard. I'm not happy that other people are finding it hard, can I just say? However, it's good to know that I'm not alone. We've also had an email here from Emma, who's written to say that she's been listening to this week's podcast and she's sorry to hear that we've had a tough week. I really do appreciate that. She is a fellow EDSer, Ehlers-Danlos syndrome person. Big up your EDSers. She was glad to hear that we've been out for a walk this week, because I'm sure it did us all good. And she says, I can't see how it'd be wholly at much risk, because we're not meeting anyone, and if you did, you've kept plenty of space and distance while they walk past. And well, meanwhile, keeping the mental well-being you'll all get from being out as a family will be invaluable, and you can always take something to sit on whilst Holly has a run around with Scout. Emma, thank you. I have been worried all week that we'd done the wrong thing. When Holly was poorly over the weekend, I was convinced that it was because we'd gone out for a walk last week, and I was like tracing back the days and everything. So it's nice to hear other people saying that they think that what we did was the right thing. It's just such a hard balance between physical health and mental health, isn't it? Like, I think we're all finding the same thing, and just guess what we're trying to do is keep everything okay, but mitigating the risks by going somewhere where there aren't people, if at all possible, and stuff. So Emma also goes on to say that there are some great online exercise programs specifically written for us. Sorry, this section is... I'm trying to get these emails right, and I'm really struggling because I have still got really bad insomnia this week, despite feeling a bit better. I'm still not really sleeping at night time, and so just the tasks of like reading emails in front of me, I'm finding really difficult today. Like, normally when I talk to you, I just talk and I blur everything out, whereas so I don't have to read and I don't have to think, I just talk, and that's okay. But reading these emails, I'm actually finding really difficult because my brain is not keeping up with my eyes and my reading or whatever. So I apologize that this is not quite going. There's a lot of brain fog happening at this point. So yeah, I apologize that I'm not reading these emails terribly well. For all of you who've written so beautifully to me, I'm not doing them justice, and I do apologize. However, I would continue to try, because Emma has said very helpfully that she has been meaning to email because there are some exercise programs specifically written for those of us with EDS, completely free to access during the lockdown. Now that is brilliant. There's somebody called Jenny DeBon who, that is really helpful. She also says you need to find your new baseline with EDS. Now, for anyone who doesn't understand what a baseline is, for a lot of us disabled people or people with chronic pain, I should say, when you're exercising, you need to find your baseline, which is the kind of amount you can do without pain getting too bad. And then you work back up to that level. And then you try and extend where your baseline is. So having an exercise program that actually helps you do that is really important, because nobody else really does it that I've seen anyway. So yeah, that's really helpful. And then Emma also goes on to say, you're doing the best job you can do, both you and Holly, in managing what is an incredibly challenging situation on top of the worry and concerns we all have around this virus and loved ones. What I also love is that she says, PS, apologies for any typos or if I've rambled, both coordination and issues and rambling worsen with fatigue and I'm about to go to sleep. So if most of what I've written makes some kind of sense, then I'll consider that as a win. Emma, we're not the same person. You know, you've written beautifully, but you're worried about rambling. I am totally rambling just trying to read your email and think about what to say about it. So yeah, I love that, you know, fatigue and stuff and brain fog is affecting both of us EDSers right now, because yeah, it totally is. Thank you so much for getting in touch. As ever, please do get in touch with us. I absolutely, honestly, I can't tell you how much it lifts my spirits to hear from you. I really, really appreciate it. I read every single one. My producer forwards them all on to me and I read them all, and it makes me feel so much better about everything. Hearing from you all and hearing your hints and tips and stuff that works for you and stuff that could work for us. If you want to email, then please do. Contact my producer, Amy Elizabeth, which is amy.elizabeth@bbc.co.uk, or send me a tweet at Katie Kate Tweets on Twitter and I'll read them all, and hopefully I'll talk about them next week. Thank you so much. So there we are. Thank you for your patience as I witter on about my life. I can confirm that Holly has made a full recovery. Honestly, I was flipping terrified and it was all because of an egg. I am not going to let her live that down. And Scout has now officially watched Frozen, I don't know, like 72 million times over the 8 weeks. Well, at least it feels like that. This podcast has proved hugely popular, and that is because of all of your support. So thank you so much. And we've actually been bigged up in the Press Gazette, which is a very prestigious publication in the media world, don't you know? As one of the best podcasts of the pandemic. Now, there's a title I definitely would not have expected to be part of at the beginning of this year, honestly. So if you are enjoying this and are debating recommending it to somebody else who might be on immunosuppressants or isolating with a three-year-old or basically relate to anything we talk about, then please do encourage them to listen, as it seems to be helping people feel less alone. So that is really important. From now on, a fresh episode will be published every fortnight. So I'll see you in 2 weeks. Hopefully by then I'll be sleeping a little bit better and be able to get my words out. Let's hope, hey? Who knows?